It is good to be in church, everyone. My name is Michael. I am one of the pastors here, and I get the privilege of leading the 5 p.m. meeting with my beautiful wife, Crystal. And I want to say that this is the best congregation in Life Changes. I truly believe it, and it is an absolute privilege to be leading it and to be doing life together with everyone here. And I just want to encourage you, next week on the 26th of May in the evening, we are going to have a worship night with Paul Eady. And he is an incredible worship leader. He led worship. He was the worship pastor at Anthem Church, where Gabe actually grew up in Durban. So he has tons of stories about Gabriel Phillips. So that is a reason to come in itself. But he's also just a passionate worshiper, but also has worship deep inside of his heart. And now he's the worship pastor at NCCB in Bryanston, and just a friend of this church. But I want to say, come, invite your friends, invite your world. It is going to be a spectacular evening of just worshiping our King of Kings and just being in His presence and His goodness. So I want to encourage you, please, please come next week on the 26th here in the evening. There will be kids' facilities available and all those things, and food on sale. So please invite your world. But tonight, we are still in our series on building on the Word of God. And I want to say that this is a series that actually has gotten stuck deep inside of my heart, and it's almost reignited a desire and a hunger for His Word again. And I've realized how important the Word of God is in my life, in my family's life, but in the lives of every believer who professes that they are going to follow Jesus Christ. And the first week we heard about the diet of the Word, and actually that if we are desperate for the Word as a believer of Jesus Christ, that desperation needs to not just be of dipping into the Word, but of devouring His Word in each and every moment. Why? Because He calls us to be like Him. And in order to be like Jesus, we need to know who Jesus is. And in order to know who Jesus is, there's only one way, and that is through His Word. And so as believers, as the Life Changes 5 p.m. congregation, we're growing together in knowledge of Jesus Christ through His Word. But it's not just enough to know about His Word. We need to submit to His Word. And there's a ton of different voices right now speaking and shouting at young people and us and saying, this is the authority that you need to serve, this political authority you need to bow down to. But actually, the Bible says there's one authority, and it's the Word of God. And we need to allow the Word of God to get deep inside of our hearts, but not just be something that we dip into or something that is an optional extra to our lives, but something that we live under and that we choose to submit to each and every day. But the Word of God is more than all those things. It's so important to each and every one of our lives. There's a new study that's come out in America, and around 32% of Christians read the Bible every day, and 27% of Christians read the Bible only a few times a week. That's 1 in 4 people read the Bible a few times a week. Now, why I think that's so important is because a recent study in 2022 showed that around 30 million people, this is the church in America, around 30 million people have left the Christian faith since the year 2000. That's around 1 in every 10 people in America have left the Christian faith. And those are people who attended church at least a few times a week, who said that they prayed regularly, that they read the Bible a few times, but actually they didn't devour the Word of God, that they just attended, and a Sunday was an experience for them, rather than actually, I'm going to choose to follow Jesus and submit to His Word. But there are more and more people who are actually leaving the Christian faith. And that troubles me as a pastor, but that also troubles me in the sense that I've seen some of my friends who I've done life with, who I've worshipped with in the front row, get distracted or go off on their journey. Why? Because I think there's things that this world can offer and distract us from our journey with God, but there's only one thing that can keep us grounded and anchored in the call that God has for us, and that's the Word of God. And there's going to be many things that try and distract from that faith. And the temptation is to think that that's not going to be me. That I'm the exception to the rule. That I may be stronger than the temptations of the world. That actually I'm not going to bow down to that. But I've seen many, many people over the years who are Christians, who regularly attend church and profess that they follow Jesus. But then something cuts in on them. And Paul says, what has cut in on your race? Why have you swerved from the faith? And it's a reality to each and every one of us that we need to stand on the Word of God, that we need to store the Word of God up in our hearts, and that we need to daily eat on the Word of God. Why? Because we need to remind ourselves who we are in Christ Jesus and who Christ Jesus is to us. Because the world is going to shout 1,000 different things at you. It's going to say that this is who you are, or that you're not good enough, or that you don't measure up in such a way. But you need to know who He says you are. And the only way to do that is through the Word of God. And this isn't a new concept. This isn't new to believers in the church of 2024. Jesus writes these words in Mark 4, and it's the parable of the sower. And it's a warning then, but it's a warning today as well, that we need to be careful of what voices we are listening to. We need to be careful of where we are giving our time and our energy and our attention to. And we need to be aware that there is a real enemy who wants to steal the Word of God from your life, who wants to say that the Word of God is not an authority, that is not supreme, it's not eternal, it's not enough in of itself, that there's other voices you should be listening to. There's a real enemy who wants to cut in on your race. Why? Because he wants to get all the glory rather than the glory going to the Father in heaven. And we need to know that we are in an eternal battle with a real enemy. This is a spiritual battle. But we can't fight a spiritual battle with physical weapons, Life Changes Church. It's just not going to do. So we need the Word of God in our hands. And we're saying that we're going to build our life on the Word this year. And why are we saying we're going to build our life? That's the thing that we're preaching for the entire year. Why? Because I believe that we're called to build as believers. That either we're building on a solid foundation or on sand. And that's a rocky foundation that will not stand the test of time and eternity. And He's calling us to build on solid rocks, which is Jesus Christ. It says this in Mark 4, verse 3 to 8. Listen, listen. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came up and ate it. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, and some 100 times. What is the warning here from Jesus? Is that there will be people who hear the word, but also people that do not believe and do the word. That the word of God is just something that we hear on a Sunday, and we can attend church a few times a month, and we can have a few devotionals, and we can even attend life group. But if the Word of God is not the thing, the truth that we believe in, and the only truth that we stand on, there are going to be things that try and steal the Word of God from our lives. And those are multiple things. See, we need to read the Word of God, and we need to have a posture of humility that's saying, God, show me yourself in your Word. I need you and you alone. That only you are enough for me. And when we do that, we are allowing the Spirit of God to come and partner with the Word of God so that the Word becomes powerful. The Word is not power because we do not submit to its authority. And if we want the Word to be powerful, then we need to partner with the Spirit of God and saying, Jesus, I'm going to trust in you and you alone and what your Word says. And I'm not going to let anything steal this from me. And there are going to be things that are going to try and tempt you. But when we don't submit to the Word, we don't see the power of the Word. What's the first thing that He says? That it falls on rocky soil. And we come to church, and because of our circumstances, because you've heard this preach 1,000 times, our hearts are hard. And so we don't allow the Word of God to get in. And we're just going, that person has let me down, and I'm disappointed by that person, and the church has failed again. But we don't allow the Word of God to get into our hearts. And then there are other circumstances where we take the Word with joy. And God's doing something in our lives. But then what's the warning? That there are thorns that will choke the Word of God. And that was the same in my life. I grew up in church for many years. I served on almost every serving team that was possible. And I attended on a Sunday and attended youth on a Friday. And the Word of God was like food to me, but then slowly but surely, I let other things distract me and detract me from his purpose in my life. I listened to other voices, and I actually found meaning and purpose in universities, in other thoughts, in other theories, rather than the Word of God being the lamp unto my feet and the Word of God being the thing that brings wisdom and truth. And slowly but surely, the things of the world choked the Word of God in my life. And now I can say that that is just for me, but I believe that there are many here tonight where the enemy wants to get in. And the enemy wants to steal your joy. And what does the Bible say the enemy does? He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But God brings life and life in abundance. This is a life or death issue, Life Changes Church. I'm saying this in a posture of humility, knowing that actually we're in a spiritual battle. But every day I get to choose something different. That we need to apply the Word of God to our lives. It's not just enough to hear it on a Sunday or read it, but if we do not apply the Word, if we do not practice what the Bible says, we're always going to be like that rocky soil where the thorns come and choke the Word of God in our lives. James 1 says, do not just be hearers of the Word, but doers of the Word. We need to hear the truth of the Word, and then we need to apply it to our lives. If we aren't applying it to our lives, then we're actually not being disciples of Jesus. And the reason why I'm saying that is a disciple of Jesus was just simply this, a pupil. And a pupil has a teacher. Now, if you have a great teacher with a lot of wisdom, but you never listen to that teacher, you're not being a very good student. And the student needs to listen to the words of the master. And what would happen in those days is that a pupil would actually follow in the ways of the teacher, and they would call them rabbi, and they would become like them. So they would practice the way that they walked, they would practice how they talked, and they would actually try and mimic the teacher, becoming more like them in the process. And they would listen to the teacher's words, and they would sit in close, and they would almost eat every word from the teacher. Why? Because they wanted to be more like him, because he had the wisdom of that age. And there is one, and the teacher is called Jesus Christ, and he gives us the Holy Spirit, and it illuminates the words, and he's saying, come in close, church. Come in close and listen to my voice. Listen to my instruction, because this is truth. This is freedom. This is life. And the world will offer you other truths. The world will tell you that you are the king of your own life. The world will tell you that there are other authorities which are more important. But the Bible says there is only one authority, there is only one source of truth, and his name is Jesus Christ. And we can choose to follow him, or we can choose to follow something else, but there's no in between. And so he's instructing us that there's only one way to live, and that's with a hunger and a desire and an authority for the word. And what does it say? It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. The thing about the Word of God, it never returns void. It always produces fruit in our lives. When we feast on the Word, I promise you, it will not return void in your life. If you're needing freedom or peace or joy right now, find it in the Word of God. Because we don't only read the Word of God reads us. And through the Holy Spirit, it shows us how we need to bring our life in alignment with the Word of God, because we need to apply that truth to our life, therefore becoming more like Jesus Christ. And if you're saying, I need freedom, I need peace, I want joy, I want to be more like Jesus, it starts by applying the Word of God in your life. Don't just be a hearer of the Word, be a doer of the Word. See, the Word of God is the tree of life. Just in Genesis 1, God said, you can have all this, but just don't eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But you can have the tree of life. You can have all this. You can have all this abundance that I have given you. I have created you. I have a plan and purpose for you. But what did we do? No, I want that thing. Why? Because we want to be the kings of our own lives. And we think that we know better. But there's a reality in Scripture is that God knows best. Do you believe that God knows best? And we can say amen, but when it comes to our finances, do you believe that God knows best? Are we tithing? Are we giving? Are we generous because we trust in one who is greater and one who is our provider? Or are we anxious and fretting about tomorrow and anxious where our next paycheck or meal is going to come from? Not actually trusting that we have a Father in heaven who's going to provide for us and give us our daily bread. And I say that as someone who's had to pay off debt, and say that with my parents getting liquidated when I was 9 years old, and there was time of lack and there was time of plenty, but I have to trust that God is my provider. Why? Because the Word of God says so. Not because it's a Christian principle, not because I'm hyped up on a Sunday. No, because the Word of God says so. And I can either trust in my own understanding or I can trust in the Word of God. The Word of God is the tree of life. And I want to say, don't settle for anything else, anything less, Life Changes Church. Don't settle for anything that the world can offer you. It pales in comparison to what Jesus has for you. We sang that song that there's power in the mighty name of Jesus. There's power, there's life, there's hope, there's purpose, there's meaning, there's freedom. There's justice. There's all these things. It's only found in Jesus Christ. And the world will say that there are other ways, other means. But I promise you, God knows best. If there's one thing I want you to take away, is that God knows best. The Word of God is a lamp unto our feet. The Word of God is truth. And we live in a world where we can choose our truth. We can deem what is true, that truth is subjective, truth is relative, truth is different for you and me, truth is different because of our background or demographic. I don't believe that. I believe that there's only one truth, and that's the Bible. Why? Because this is God-breathed. Like Tim taught us last week, all scripture, everything written here is God-breathed. And as he created you, the same creator, the same communicator, the same person who breathed you into being, breathed the words on these pages. And so we need to trust in that. Because trusting in this means that we're trusting in him. And by trusting in him means that you're going to have life. You're going to find freedom. You're going to find peace. Because he's the source of life, peace, and joy. And we need to believe that. And so we're called to not just be hearers of the word, we're called to be doers of the word, and we're called to apply the word to our lives. And so we're going to look at a piece of scripture which I mentioned 2 weeks ago, which is challenging and which confronts us and which confronts the way we live. And we're going to dive into it tonight. Why? Because actually it challenged some of us. And I want to unpack it and help us understand and do some theology tonight about what God's ways are and maybe what the world's ways are. Because there are only two ways to live. It's either our way or God's way. And God's way brings life and life in abundance. And so we're going to read in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 13 to 18. And if you have your Bible, turn there now. Take out your phone. Go to the YouVersion app. Do what you need to do. It will be on the screen behind me. But it says this, and we're going to read it line by line. And I just want to pick out a few truths to help us. And it says this first in verse 13, as a fair exchange, I speak as to my children, open wide your hearts also. This is the invitation to us tonight. Will we open up our hearts wide? Because God wants to speak. And I feel like God wants to bring some correction and some alignment with his word. Why? So that we can glorify him. Because the church who stands on the word of God will bring glory to God. Not just here, but when you go out in your businesses, when you go out in your schools, with your families and your marriages, we will bring glory to God. But it says this in verse 14, and here's the challenge. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? Or what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? Just so you know, this is a challenge to my own heart and me as well. And I'm reading these words in humility, but what agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. What's the context of this? Well, Paul is writing this letter to the church in Corinth. And there's a church, and this letter of Corinthians is to the church in Corinth. And this is a group of first-generation believers, that they were once of the world, they had Hellenistic theology, they believed in the Greek gods, they believed in all these things, and then they're encountering the power of Jesus Christ and this person called Jesus Christ. And so they're first-generation believers, but the book of 1 Corinthians actually directs a lot about sexual immorality and that there's sexual chaos in the church. Why? Because they're wrestling with how do we follow Jesus, but how do we put away the practices that we used to practice and we used to act on? And now this book of 2 Corinthians is addressing relational chaos because they're trying to go, how do I separate myself from the world? I was doing all these things, but now you're telling me I need to live a different way and follow Jesus and that your word actually is commanding me to do something. And Paul's writing to them, dear children, open up your hearts. That's how he starts this passage of scripture. Why? Because it comes with a challenge, but it's a challenge that is for our benefit. There's a command, do not be yoked with unbelievers. Now, I said earlier is that God knows what's best. So when there's a command, we have one of two options. We either follow it or we don't. There's no in between. Do not is a command. But too often, I read commands in the negative. I read commands as something bad for me, something I have to do because I'm being punished or because God doesn't want what's best for me or God wants me to live a boring life or God wants me to settle for something second best. But commands are given to us by God for our blessing and for our good. Why? Because they are from the one who gives blessing and the one who knows best and the one who created the heavens and the earth. And so when we actually follow these commands, we are walking in the step of Jesus Christ and we are walking in the pleasure and the goodness of God. And so when he says, do not be yoked with unbelievers, he's saying it as a loving father because it's for our own good. And what does that unbeliever mean? Does that mean that we never associate with people who don't follow Jesus Christ? Well, the word unbeliever means those who are faithful. So do not be yoked with those who are not of the faith. And what yoked means is it's a partnership. You can put that picture up. And yoke is a wooden bar that would be placed between two oxen. And that's called a yoke. And it would be to put a burden or a load on these two oxen so that they could plow the field and make sure that the soil was in a decent state so that seed could be planted. You see where I'm going with this. The seed is the word of God. We need to make sure that the soil is in a good enough condition so that when we receive the word of God, it will produce fruit in our lives. But we cannot do that if we are yoked unevenly. There had to be two of the same animal and two of the same strength so that they could pull forward and move forward together. Because if you yoked an oxen with a donkey, what would happen is the ox would pull forward aggressively and it would carry the brunt of the load and it would actually hurt himself and it could do so for a little while, but it will eventually have pain and discomfort. Why? Because it was carrying all the weight. But it would only not hurt itself, it would hurt the donkey as well. It would pull this little animal along and it would bring pain because why? It's dragging the donkey with it. And Paul's saying, do not be yoked with unbelievers. What can idols have with the temple of God? And this isn't just a relationship issue. Paul's addressing a heart issue here. This section in the Bible is entitled, Do Not Worship Idolatry. Now, what is an idol? An idol is anything that takes the rightful place of God in our lives. It's anything that we give our time to, our affections to, our worship to, rather than God. And so Paul's saying, do not yoke yourself with those things. Do not partner with anything in this world, in this life, which will distract you, which will detract from the attention and the adoration which needs to be given to God and God alone. And that can be in relationships, that can be in business, that can be in our friendships, the way we treat others, That can be in every area of our lives. And so Paul's saying that as a Christian, as someone who has received the word of God, we need to be different to the world. We need to live in such a way that the word of God comes out in our life. And so we cannot partner with the world. We need to be different. And so we need to yoke ourselves with people who will also glorify God. Because what is our purpose on this world? It is to show the surpassing worth of Jesus Christ in each and every moment of our lives to the glory of the Father. And to show people that there's eternity at stake, that actually he sent his son, Jesus Christ, for a plan and a purpose. That was to pay the price for us, for our sins, so that we could have eternity with the Father. But if we are yoking ourselves with people who do not have Jesus as Lord, we are going to stop moving forward. And we're going to bring pain and discomfort to our lives, but also to the others. And so how does this practically work out? Well, in business, what's the starting point? That Jesus is your Lord. Not money, not profit, not your own desires, but that Jesus is Lord. But now the problem is, if you yoke yourself with an unbeliever and you say, but Michael, you don't know how good that deal is. You don't know that person. They are good. They have good values. They have good morals. And maybe they do, but at the end of the day, they are serving another Lord and it's not God. They may be serving their own desires, their own paycheck, whatever it may be. And when it goes to this, and Paul says you cannot be yoked with idols and the temple of the living God, you have to choose one or the other, it's going to bring pain and discomfort. And this isn't just to protect you, it's to protect the other person as well. Because why? It will give God a bad rap. Those Christians, they knew that they shouldn't enter into this. He knew that he should have done this differently. Why did he make this decision if he knew that he could not honor it? And then we're not giving God all the glory. And Paul is saying there's something at stake here, church. That the word of God is powerful, but the word of God is only powerful if it's applied to your life. And your life is here to bring glory to God. God knows best. He knows best for us. And so we're called to submit to the authority of the word. And we're called to submit to his authority. And then there's relationships. And I've had friends who have walked away from the faith, who thought they could do this their way. And they knew better. People who I've worshipped with on a Sunday. And this is you tonight. Please know my heart here is that there is a Lord who can bring grace and redemption and restoration to your story, and this grace on offer here tonight. But there's a real enemy who wants to cut in on your journey with him. And I've seen people who say they are lonely and who won't trust God for a spouse, and then they settle for second best. What is an unbeliever? It's someone who is dead in their sin and their transgressions. But we are alive in Jesus Christ. Do not be yoked with those who are dead in their transgressions. Because it will always pull you one way. Like the ox and the donkey will pull this way and the ox will pull this way, and it will bring pain in your story and theirs. Do not yoke yourself with an unbeliever. Why? Because it will take you away from Jesus Christ. And I've seen people settle. And they are no longer living a life following Jesus Christ. And they're one of the 10. Why? Because the word of God was not authority in their lives. Do you know best, or does God know best? And there's a beautiful lady in our Tailview AM community. And Olivia, you can get up now. And she was married to a man that is now 22 years, but for 21 years, as he was not a Christian. And there was pain in the story because they did not value the same things. They did some did not submit to the same things, and they did not have the same authority. And there was pain, and there was discomfort. Why? Because they were unevenly yoked. And he had anger issues, and there was addiction in the midst. And she will tell you the story that she just wished that she had made different decisions. But she was committed to this man. And for 21 years, she cried out to God that he would be saved. And by the grace of God, because God has a greater plan, because God is more infinitely wise than each and every one of us, that man gave his life to God. And he is changed. And he is free from addiction. And he is free from anger. And he can love his daughters as he should. And he can honor his wife as he should. Why? Because he came under the authority of the Word of God. But if you sit with her, there's 21 years of pain and discomfort. There's 21 years of brokenness that they need to work through now. But that was a decision she made. And Paul's writing, do not be unequally yoked, because he knows the pain that this will bring to our stories. That this isn't God's best for us. Pursue something that will lead to life. Trust him for your spouse. Trust him for your business. Trust him for your family. Trust in him. Yoke yourself to him. Partner with him and his word and his grace and his goodness. There's power in the mighty name of Jesus. And he's saying, do not be unequally yoked. What do idols and the temple of the living God have together? That name Belial is worthlessness. What does worthlessness have with the righteousness of Jesus Christ? And why does he say this? Because you are God's sons and daughters. He ends that off with, you are sons and daughters. There's something at stake here. That he wants you close. He wants you to stay close. And not just for today, not just for this week because you've heard the sermon, but for every day for the rest of your life, bringing glory to him. And as you do, he will get all the glory. And as you go and say and profess that I trust in him, that he is enough, that he is sufficient for my story, for my sexuality, for my marriage, for my children, for my businesses, for my peace, he is enough for each and every one of those. I will trust in him. I will stand on the word of God, and he will get all the glory. Why? Because he is faithful. Even when we are faithless, his word says, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he is the everlasting God, and he is a good father in heaven. We can either believe this truth and just hear it, or we can apply it to our lives and change the way that we live. And for some of us here tonight, it's going to be radical decisions that we're going to have to make. And again, I'm not saying don't be friends with unbelievers. We're called to love the world. We're called to love one another. We're called to be in the world, but we're not called to be of this world. We're called to be different as believers. We're called to be a shining light, a city on the hill, a place for freedom, a place where the brokenhearted can find peace and joy. And we're called to be the bride of Jesus Christ. And he is coming back for his bride, and he jealously wants you and desires you. He wants every part of your life, sir or ma'am. Every part of your life. The dark parts, the messy parts, the parts which you are struggling to give to him, the parts which look more like the world, he wants each and every part of your life. What is the invitation? The invitation is simply this, Matthew 11. You can stand to your feet. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened. I don't know your heart, but if you are weary and burdened, what is the invitation? Come to Jesus. And I will give you rest for your soul. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Will you yoke yourself with Jesus Christ? Will you partner with him? Will you choose to follow him at his pace, led by the Holy Spirit? Will you choose to follow him, and will you allow him to carry the burden and the weight of your anxiety, the weight of your depression, the weight of your mistakes in the past, the weight of your divorce, the weight of your failures, the weight of all these things, the weight of your finances, anything right now, will you bring that weight to him and say, Jesus, take my burden. Take my yoke. Just with all eyes closed. Feel like he's speaking to some people, and maybe you've placed the word of God on the side, and you've had one foot in and one foot out, but right now he's saying, I want all of you. I want all of you just as you are. The imperfect bits, the bits that you think that you can't bring to the table, I want all of you. And there's others, once your heart burned for him, and your heart burned for the things of the kingdom, but it's become a little bit dim because there's been disappointments, there's been failures. And he's saying, will you trust in me again? For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Will you trust in me? Will you depend on me? Will you rest in me? So Jesus, right now, do the work that you need to do in our hearts. I pray that people will make decisions in faith to honor you, to bring truth to their life through your word, to walk in grace and freedom that you offer so graciously to us, Lord, that you have paid the price on the cross for our sins, but you want us to walk in freedom, for it is for freedom that you set us free. So we are no longer slaves to sin or slaves to the world, but we are only slaves to you and your righteousness and your freedom and your grace. So Lord, bring freedom in this place right now. Freedom to mindsets. Freedom to pain and disappointments and loss and failures. And if this is your story, maybe you are the person who is praying for a spouse to come to salvation. Maybe you're the person who made that decision so long ago. Know that you have a Father in heaven who has you in the palm of his hand and who smiles down upon you, and you're the apple of his eye. And know that he can do more than you can think, dream, or imagine. And just as that lady saw her husband of 21 years come to salvation, you can too. So Lord, we thank you. We thank you that we get to stand on the greatest authority, which is your word. We thank you that we can believe in the ultimate truth. That we thank you that we are your sons and daughters. And I pray that this will change the way that we live forevermore. And that we will never settle for anything different, Lord. Anything that is second best ever again. We pray this in your mighty name. Amen.